The Gospel according to Luke, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. One day, Jesus got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they put out, and while they were sailing, he fell asleep. A windstorm swept down on the lake, the boat was filling with water, and they were in danger. They went to him and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And waking up, Jesus rebuked the wind and the raging waves. They ceased, and there was calm. Then Jesus said to them, "Where is your faith?" The disciples were terrified and amazed and said to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. As I mentioned at the welcome, this summer we've been having a season of creation with several Sundays dedicated to this theme of creation throughout our time here after Pentecost, which happens to be green Sundays. And this week, we're focusing on a different aspect, that of water. Water is one of those most dynamic symbols, both in the Bible and our lives, as we've all felt the need for it this past week and this heat. And maybe you're feeling like you want some water right now. I asked our Wednesday Bible study group just what associations they made with water, either spiritual or not, just what associations came up. And I received responses as varied as the number of people there. Some talked about the life-giving aspect of water, that it is all around us, and the way it's so vital for all life, including ours. Others talked about the danger of water and how uncontrollable it is, especially some of those who've been in the service talked about being in ships in rough seas. Others talked about floods and needing to flee the waters, as we've all read about this week or seen in Tennessee. Some talked about water management and the stewardship of this precious resource that we have. And then others talked about the spiritual component of water and the waters of baptism. But the one overriding thing that always came up was the feeling of great calm that can come through water in nature. When you're near a waterfall, maybe at the ocean or a lake, some referred to being around water as being their happy place. Nearly everyone who shared something about water that was different, you could see everyone else's heads nodding. Oh yeah, I make that association too. It's such a fundamental element of our lives that it is deeply rich in meaning for us. So for this Sunday with a thematic week on water, there's a multiplicity of meaning with respect to water and any number of different ways to think about this as we study scriptures. Today, I'd like to focus about water in our relationship to our theology of creation. In our Old Testament reading that Honora read from the book of Job, God is speaking directly to Job and talking about God's work in creation. It discusses it in two ways. The first is the way God provides fresh water on the earth, water that gives life in clouds and rain, rivers and lakes. The second, though, is the way God holds back the waters, or the seas of the earth. In the Old Testament, sometimes they called it the deep. Those primordial waters that God holds back in Genesis when God separates the dry land from the waters in creation. In the Old Testament, in fact, they thought of God always having to hold those waters back, those destructive waters. They thought of those waters as a symbol for chaos, with the idea that the one thing you can't do with the sea is control it. And so a critical component of the theology of creation, especially in the Old Testament, is that God is what keeps those waters at bay, what keeps chaos at bay. God is what orders and structures life. So they see water through the lens of God as relating those two aspects of water, that of giving life and that of its destructive force. And they thought of it primarily in that way, that it's only God who kept the chaos of the sea at bay. By focusing upon water and creation, they focus upon God's cosmic role. What we say when we talk about God the Creator, God's the one and the only one who creates, who structures the world around us, who provides any real order or meaning in our lives. Their fundamental view, and our fundamental view, is that water was about life. The obvious role for life there is in the way water enlivens us with rain and it refreshes the earth. But they also actually thought of the destructive role of water also with respect to life. It's never about the primordial waters that the sea is destroying. It's about God holding them back, about God's providing a stable creation that causes the world we live in to be teeming with life. We see that in our reading from Job. God challenges Job. Are you me? Do you know what I'm doing and continually doing in your life? The very creation around you, that is my work. And so Job is recognizing he is a human. God is God. But in that recognition, he also recognizes God's continual work among us. I think one of the biggest mistakes we so frequently can slip into when we think about creation is that we talk about it as something God did a really long time ago, setting up this earth through this elaborate process. God did do that, but that doesn't mean God stopped creating. God's continually creating and recreating the world we live in. God's continually holding back the chaos and waters of our lives. In our gospel reading today, we have the familiar story of Jesus calming the waters when he's asleep in the boat and a great storm comes and the disciples are unable to keep the water out and they are at very real risk of sinking and dying. They wake Jesus and Jesus calms the storm. But if we read this story with that aspect of the water we saw from our Old Testament reading, the way the storm is discussed, the creational waters, those primordial waters, as the storms assailing us, the disciples would have thought this way and imagined the chaos of life coming upon them. And we actually see in this reading, their hope is lost. They come to Jesus despairing. If you look carefully what it says, they say, "Master, Master, we are perishing." It doesn't say, "Master, if you don't act, we'll die." Or say, "Please help us." It's simply, "We are perishing." A statement of fact. The boat's capsizing. There's nothing more we can do. They can't even get so far to ask Jesus for help. We might think it's implied, but it doesn't actually say that. In fact, when Jesus does calm the waters, they're surprised. They seemingly had no idea he could do such a thing. They just wake him saying, "We are perishing." It is a statement of despair. And while our theology is that God is always present in creation, when we're in those places of danger from creation, we don't remember that theology very frequently. When the waves are crashing down, when the floods rise like they are in Tennessee right now, when the dams break, most people's first thought is, oh, theologically, God's in control and God is a God of life and so on. Instead, their prayer is, why? How long, O Lord? The disciples in our text don't have deep theology here that saves them. They simply state where they are. We are perishing. We are despairing. We aren't sure we have any hope at all. I love how honest that statement is. This isn't the time to call upon some deep theology from our books. This is the time to state who we are before God. Remember that message from Job. You are human. I'm God. This is the same message, but in reverse. When the disciples say, "We are perishing," they could simply be saying to Jesus, "We're humans. We're afraid. We don't have control of this situation." And first, and there's two aspects. The first is, of course, they honestly don't know how this is going to get solved or if it will. But the second is the work of God in their lives, the work of God in our lives is too great for us to be able to fathom or understand. God's grace and love are greater than anything we can understand, much less ask for. So instead they state simply who we are. We are perishing. Then Jesus acts. Jesus acts not because they ask him to, they in fact didn't, but because of who Jesus is. The work of God is alive in us, among us at all times. Even when we can't see it. When we can only say, we are perishing. That might be at times the most honest prayer we can make. It is as if we come to God and simply name, here is where I am. In this circumstance in our text, they say that during a physical storm. During a moment we would usually see as a creational moment. But the same thing can be said very frequently when we don't think of it as a creational moment. Not only when there's an actual storm, but in the storms and stress of our lives. In those moments where the only honest thing we can say to God is, here is where I am. In those moments too, there we see Jesus' action in our lives. Where and how Jesus acts. When Jesus calms the waters. When Jesus brings peace. And there's that sense of peace. Jesus calming the waters across this lake that so many express when you're out on a still lake, in still water. That aesthetic sense of peace that just floods over you that is beyond words. That peace that can only be experienced rather than described. It's the peace that comes from the waters of baptism. The water of rebirth, renewal, resurrection. When our identity is in Christ, when we're able to say to God, here is where I am. And we know God is hearing us. when we're able to give thanks that God is a God of life, one who gives water, one who holds back chaos, one who washes us clean daily from the power of sin and into the new creation alive in us already. God, the Creator, continues to work in us and through us. From every death, there is resurrection. From every storm, there is calm. From every time, we can only say in despair, "Here is where I am, God." God acts in our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.